You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Sorry about the delay, but the universe has simply dictated that we take a little break. Anyway, I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, my guest is Ivan Arados. Ivan was born in former Yugoslavia. He is an established and internationally recognized artist, energy healer, spiritual guide, and teacher. He is the author of the acclaimed book, Health, It's All About Consciousness, as well as the book, Create Yourself, Secrets of Self-Discovery and Healing with Sacred Geometry, and The Transparent Man, The Last Anti-Manifesto About Transcendental Art. In his most recent book, he ties together time-proven wisdom about the source of health as it relates to consciousness. It's a wonderful book, so let's welcome Ivan now to find out more. Hi, Ivan. How are you?
I feel excellent, and how are you?
Well, I'm actually, to be totally honest with you, I'm recovering from a bout with diverticulitis, so reading your book is very timely.
You are actually saying that your body is recovering from it, but you are you can't recover from something because you are infinitely healthy right now as you are. That's the book about.
Yes, look at how we think and speak and manifest through our words, and there's so many problems with our language, and of course that's right. First, I just want to say about your book that it's really outstanding, and it's a no-nonsense metaphysical guide without any sugarcoating for those who care to read it. There's, believe me, there's no pandering in the book.
Thank you very much. I mean, researching the topic, but I have to tell you that I've been doing healing for a long time,
mm-hmm.
and I started to research deeper to see what is the source of health. Is there any source of health? And so many circumstances, so many experiences in my own life, giving me the glimpse of something which is unimaginable, which is so infinite within us as the source of everything. So, and I just discovered, or put it this way, I rediscover the source of health, which is me, and who I am. I am that I am. Can you prove it? No. Can you find it? No. You can only be it. That's the mystery. So, I am the mystery, so health is the mystery, and that's what being is, to be who you are, to be what you are, and where you are in the moment, as always, so health is infinite, so you are in infinite health always, as you are in the moment, because you are the moment. So we can all go around and around in a circular way, but you are healthy as you are, but you can attach yourself to certain diseases, to certain difficulties, problems, stress, and worries, that's your choice. And everything is done by choices. So either you choose to be or not to be. If you don't choose to be, then someone else is choosing for you. That means disease in your life. That means separation. That means difficulties, problems, and all kinds of suffering.
Wow. Why is it so important to act in full consciousness to the extent that we can and attempt to see and limit our unconscious behavior?
Unconscious behavior, it's not our behavior. It is the behavior of others. Because others, they imprinted us with something that we are not. What's that we are not? It's the mind. And mind creates a certain personality, certain character. And certain character means expectations. It means fulfillment of certain desires, not imposed by yourself, but imposed by society, to behave, to be good, to follow like a sheep, and to take consensus as real. That's why we see this reality as, and we refer to this reality as consensus reality, because we all agree that's the only reality we believe as real. So health is the natural state of being. It is natural result of simply being in the now, not being with others, not fulfilling others' expectations and desires and thoughts. So not being in the mind, being out of your mind. That's what health is. That's what consciousness is. That's the only choice we can make. If you don't make a choice to be, then society will make a choice for us what to be and where to be.
Boy, is that true. It seems like that's exactly what's happening. People are worshiping movie stars. Everybody's got a cell phone in their ear. Kids have Game Boys or whatever you call it. And there's an endless chatter all around us. One of my close friends used to say frequently, your mind is out to get you. This can be taken fairly literally, can't it?
Yeah. Whenever you find yourself with a disease, you are doing something unnatural to create it. Disease is not being at ease. You see, we live in disease society because the society in general is unconscious. It's full of wars, full of suffering, full of misconducts, full of conflicts. So whenever we found ourselves with a disease, we are doing something unnatural. By unnatural, I mean the balance with the whole is lost, diverting our natural flow. And when we examine the words, for example, holism, healing, and holy, all those words came from the word whole. To be healthy means to be one with the whole, to be in touch with one's own multidimensionality and interconnectedness. As a part of the whole, that's what infinite consciousness is. And we are infinitely connected. So that's why I said you have to choose to be who you are in order to find what is missing in life. Health. And health is equal to love. Love is not sentimental, by the way. Love is all that is. It's total acceptance of who you are. And you are in love with who you are, and then you share that love with everyone else through compassion. So we are generally a society, uncompassionate society, because we are generally unconscious.
Yeah, absolutely right. And I know for myself it's taken 59 years to get to the point where I'm just beginning to actually have some self-esteem and love myself. And a lot of that comes through seeing my, you know, loving my dog, and she's the mirror for me to allow myself to be. And that's kind of a sad state of affairs, but it seems that so many of us are self-judging and limiting and have no self-worth, which is, you talk about this all throughout the book.
That's right. I mean, we are all conditioned. That's called conditioning. And conditioning is a process of suppressing consciousness.
Yeah.
So you are suppressing yourself in order to be someone else. We're all born as expression of consciousness without the mind. But when a child isn't, for example, accepted fully, unconditionally, when its actions aren't gently guided and they are not allowed to be, and the child is not allowed to be oneself. The mind starts to take the possession. Mind appears as a creation of the opinions of others. Somebody loves you, somebody hates you. Somebody accepts you, somebody rejects you. Somebody say nice things about you and somebody terrible things.
Mm-hmm.
In this way, the mind becomes a mirror of relationship.
Mm.
And that little child starts looking at the reflection instead of its authentic oneself.
Oh,
the
yeah.
child becomes unconscious instead of conscious. That's called conditioning.
Yeah.
So seeing itself from the outside rather from the outside, you see, and comparing yourself with others, my neighbor, my cousin, you know, my best whatever buddy in school or
yeah.
Hollywood star. So we all are copycats. We all are clones of the society.
Oh, yes.
This is called unconscious state of being. In this conditioned state, we believe existence is full of suffering, conflict, pain, misery, and diseases. And that's not true. We all feed each other's consensus thoughts, which we aren't supposed to question. For example, have you ever questioned the doctor diagnosis? You know, you have a cancer.
Mm-hmm.
We can't go against our conditioning. Society makes us feel guilty if we question someone's
yes.
authority. You see
yep.
what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. And it seems that we're just being led by the, like, cattle to the slaughter right now. I don't know if you could say that life on Earth is getting worse or if this is some kind of moment of choice for all of humanity to either sit or get off the pot.
That's right. We have to reach the bottom in order to climb to the top. There's no way out. You have to understand the black in order to understand, you know, the white.
Mm.
Diseases exist in our reality because we are standing back towards it and we believe in it. The mind is freezing the energy. By facing diseases with our awareness, we will see that belief in disease is not serving us. It is simply imagination. And you find yourself, you know, you realize the ridiculousness of keeping the belief in disease.
Yeah.
And then you bring consciousness into everything you do, everything you be. And then life becomes celebration. And life becomes easiness instead of diseasiness.
Oh, I love that. So that brings up the question of our being able to let go of our beliefs and simply be.
We can't really get rid of our beliefs easily, but we can understand the belief. And then you understand why do you believe particular belief. The belief will disconnect itself. You don't have to really, you know, fight your belief. Because fighting your belief, you're fighting your mind. You're fighting
right.
your thoughts. And you are in conflict. And the mind will take over, and mind is winning and smiling and giggling behind and saying, you know, I got you. So you can't really do anything against the mind. Against the mind means against the belief, against conditioning. You can only be aware, why do you believe such a belief?
Yeah.
And then then there is indication, you know, there is one indication. If the mind or if the belief is serving you, and you will know that by consciousness, then keep it. Then you will keep it. If the mind is not serving you, for God's sake, why are you keeping it? Then the mind will stop projecting, and then you can adopt another belief as a climbing reference. Then you will start climbing. You will start changing. You will start transforming into higher reality. The reality of higher consciousness.
Mm.
Then you will have much healthier choices instead of, you know, repetitive, you know, choices over and over and over again, asking yourself, why I'm stuck? You're
mm-hmm.
stuck because you have unhealthy belief and you believe that's the only belief you can have. Change it by being aware. Why do you believe in such a belief? Simple as that.
And then you also mentioned that you just said this, but another way that you said it in the book is that it's important not to fight with the mind, and that that's similar to how we approach disease. We want to fight cancer or fight this disease or that disease, but that's the wrong approach, isn't it?
That's right. I mean, what's the fight? what you are fighting, you are fighting non-existence. You see?
Mm-hmm.
When you are fighting the mind, you are fighting non-existence. Mind means non-existence. It exists, yes, as a substitute for not being real you. You are not conscious, so someone else will take over and say, I'm going to be you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what is the mind? There is no mind at all.
Mm-hmm.
The mind appears to be because of lack of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
So what is then in the mind? There is nothing in the mind. The mind means the process of thoughts. Are the thoughts real? No, they are not real. They appear to be real because you identify with the movement. And you are taking the movement as real. The movement is not real. The moment is real. Where is the moment? Not outside. The moment is inside of you. The observer of infinite possibilities, that's your consciousness. So when you're fighting the movement is fighting itself. And the moment is lost. Then the movement becomes past or future. And then you are trapped between two, you know, apparent realities, and there is no way, you know, to get out of that circular merry-go-round motion. You see what I mean?
Yes, absolutely. I totally see it. And that creates, or that's the nature of duality or polarity, which we seem to be stuck in because we're looking at the projection rather than being ourselves authentically.
That's right. The projection is always your psychological attachment to the past unresolved experiences or certain projection or projections in the future, as like a desire or wanting something which you have as confirmation that it is the truth. Or something you don't have as a desire to really fulfill the missing gap in your own being.
Mm-hmm.
So the mind, it's not, I'm not against the mind. I'm against the attachment to the mind. Mind is beautiful, useful instrument. Just an instrument, nothing else. Call it a holographic instrument. So a tool to designate, create, and communicate. It can be a channel to connect us with our source and who we really are. It's there to be used, but not to be used by it. And that's the problem. 99.99% of people are used by the mind.
Mm-hmm.
So we are not our mind. We have to come to that understanding. We are not our mind. We are not even our body.
Right.
We are not our emotions. We are not what comes and goes. Body comes and goes. The mind with the thoughts, the thought comes and goes. Emotions, they come and go. But you stay forever. So if you can remain stable and balanced in that present moment where you are, infinitely remembering who you are, then you will realize the truth. You are always here and now. So that's what health is. Realization or re-realization that you are always infinitely alive and there is no worry. If there is no worry, there is no fear. If there is no fear, there is no diseases.
And we have so many fears. The biggest one for most of us is our fear of death and our denial that we, you know, that the body drops away.
That's right. That's right. You see, for me, 98% diseases are stress-related. Where is the stress? Not in the body, but in the mind, with stressful thoughts. And the body is just, the body reflects the state of mind, either the state of mind or the consciousness. The consciousness is all about easiness. It's about balance and harmony and stillness. Total acceptance of everything that comes and goes. But the mind is not. The mind means stress. Stressful thoughts, stressful body. So when the body is stressful, there is no way that the body can hear itself, because the body is another instrument, but bio-instrument, capable, able of harmonizing itself, healing itself. But the mind, through the stressful thoughts and beliefs and consensus reality, is not allowing the body to change itself. It is imposing certain beliefs. I'm not able. I'm not capable. I'm cursed. I'm not healthy. I don't deserve to be right. I don't deserve to be true. That we are blocking the energy. And when the energy is blocked, then the body is suffocated.
Mm-hmm.
It is struggling and suffering.
Are there any external causes? Like you mentioned one thing, that fluoride and fluoridation interferes with our immune system and our ability to activate the pineal gland.
That's right.
Why does this go on even though it's been disallowed by the EPA?
But because people, they will just take everything from society, from authority.
Yeah.
And that's basic, you know, that's actually unconsciousness. People are unconscious,
okay.
And they can't really, they don't want to know. That's the point. The mind doesn't want to know what's healthy, what's good. The mind only thinks in terms of safety and security, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Never, ever raise your voice. There is a Japanese saying, you see, and we are all, we can all find ourselves in this little saying. In that saying, Japanese, they said, that if there is a wood with the perfectly nailed nails, and one is sticking out, it's first to be hit. So we are all afraid of going out of the wood, because we will be hit by the society very severely. And it's going to be painful. So we are going to lose our jobs. We are going to lose our reputation. So who am I to really, you know, say what's right, what's wrong? So I will just go with the crowd. I'm going to be a sheep, a part of the group. And please, you know, take care of me. I am not responsible for my own self. You are. That's how we give our responsibility to others, instead of taking that responsibility for ourselves. And that's where consciousness is really crucially essentially important. So yes, fluoridation can damage entire metabolism, and particularly pineal gland, because pineal gland is the called seat of the soul. If you kill the pineal gland, then the entire glandular network is damaged. Also, synapses are really in a havoc state. They are not really properly sending the messages to the entire body. So the body is cracking totally, and the consciousness is being suppressed further and further into unconsciousness.
Wow.
But they are doing that deliberately, because they don't want, those authority figures, they don't want conscious individuals. They want an unconscious crowd of believers,
right.
Because they need workers. They need warriors and they need slaves. And if you are a healthy individual, then you will not be in one of those categories. You will be free. You will not buy anything for granted. You will choose to celebrate life instead of being in misery.
Mm-hmm. Well, it seems almost like there's an intentional activity going on through many different means to break us down and cause us to become unconscious.
It's a big industry.
Yeah.
It is big. You are just a product. You are just a name.
Yeah.
So when you give yourself a name, that's why I said at the beginning of the program, really, I don't mind how you call me, because I'm not a number.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not in concentration camp. I'm free being.
Right.
So I have free will to do anything I want. Even you can kill my body. You can poison my mind. You can pollute my emotions. But you will never ever damage me. You will never ever do anything wrong with me, because I am conscious.
Yeah.
And that's eternally, essentially, infinitely with me always.
Well, you know, I totally agree with you. And yet there's such a pull to be asleep or to forget ourselves. How do we create the remembrance of these this truth?
Mm. So, as I said at the beginning, just the realization that you can use your mind, you can use your mind, not being used by your mind. So because mind isn't whole, it can't accept the whole. It can only accept parts of it if those parts fit with its own conditioned beliefs,
right,
structures. So if the mind can accept the whole, mind will dissolve. Where's the whole? The whole is in the consciousness. So mind cannot accept the consciousness. So your only consciousness cannot accept itself. So that's called, you know, but in society, we've been told that, you know, never ever love yourself because you are selfish. And that's the secret key.
Yeah.
Love yourself.
Yeah.
To that extent that all your needs are fulfilled. What do you need? But bring the consciousness into your needs. What do you need? You need a shelter. You need a glass of water.
Yeah.
And you need just a small amount of food to feed your body, to look after your body. Anything else is not necessary.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it is compensation for the basic needs to be who you are.
Mm.
To fulfill that unlove for yourself.
And it seems that most of humanity is stuck in this vicious cycle of acquiring more material things, which gives them an identity and tells them that they're okay, and it's never enough. It's always more, better, and different.
Yeah, I mean, you see, we have to another thing. We have to ask ourselves: am I in love with my disease? Am I in love with my unhappiness, with my shame, with my guilt, with my self-doubt? Am I in love with my disease? So many need their diseases for a variety of reasons. For example, some are in love with a very special, unrecognized, incurable disease.
Hmm.
Some have such a low self-esteem that anyone can give them any disease they wish. Some seek help and sabotage every treatment just to prove that they are incurable and therefore in some way, let's say, special.
Uh-huh, yes.
You see, some are encouraged to get ill. Encouraged to get ill.
All right.
To avoid blame, responsibility, or for financial rewards like insurance or disability insurance.
Yeah.
Some are so addicted. That's where, you know, 98% of all diseases are addiction. Addicted to trying many different approaches to healing. Maybe it's in the herb. Maybe it's in that therapy. Maybe it's in that approach. Maybe I have to read this book. I have to, you know, I have to find this method. I have to find this guru. Oh, this is the best healer I found at the moment. Oh, there is, you know. So we are all addicted to many different approaches to healing. It becomes our way of life.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it is
right. Clear
that many of us are in close and significant relationship with unconsciousness.
Yes.
With disease. So have you observed, for example, that ill person gets attention of everyone? The family, friends, neighbors. He, she becomes the center of everybody. Everybody talks about that person. The ill person becomes important. If the ill person becomes attached to that attention, you know, she or he will cling to the illness, and the illness will turn into disease.
You
invest in your house, you invest in your job, you invest in your market. Have you ever thought that you might be investing in your disease?
Mm.
That's unconsciousness.
Yes.
So bring in consciousness, then you are facing disease with awareness, with consciousness, and you are asking yourself and you are realizing, oh, I've been ridiculous. I've been unconscious. Now I'm going to be conscious. The pain will go, will disappear. Anxiety will disappear. misery will go, everything that you are not will go. That what you are will always be with you as the awareness of oneself. That's what love is.
You give a couple of excellent examples in your book. The one that stands out for right now is Maria and Father Alexei. Did you want to share anything about their stories?
Oh, it's it's a long story. I would rather leave readers
for another day.
Another day.
Yeah.
I can give you another example.
Okay.
For example, when I when someone knocked on my door and sneaked in and start talking about how fearful he is. Actually, that's what she is, and that's not fair. She's been with the medical establishment for 2 years, and they've been trying to heal her from cancer, but actually they were poisoning her more with the chemotherapy, radiotherapy, all kinds of other silly approaches. And then, at the end they said, we can't do anything with you. Go home and you're going to die in 1 month. And she said, I came to see you because I've been told that you can heal me.
Yeah.
I said, no, I cannot heal you. And say, I'm not so powerful. If God can heal you, you'll be a puppet. Then it's better to commit suicide. Then everything will be sort of, known. Reality, existence is unknown, and you have free will.
Yeah.
You are equal to God. So, and she was looking at me, she couldn't understand what I was talking about. So I said, you see, do you believe in God? She said, yes, I do. Okay, I don't, I said. You see, to believe is compensation for not knowing. And I'm going to say to you, you are God. Do you believe me now? She said, no. You see, and I don't believe that I'm God, but I know that I'm God. So what is God? God, we usually call it oneness, the wholeness, divine, the whole, whatever you want to call it, existence. So the oneness or God is God, is the oneness, expressing itself through the pieces. And every single piece of that oneness is God.
Mm.
So you have infinite power within. So God loves you infinitely, does it? She said, yes. But do you love yourself? She said, no, I don't. So once you start loving yourself, then you will be healed immediately. Once you start loving yourself, how can I love myself? Accept yourself, because love is all about acceptance.
Hmm.
So if I say that through acceptance you will be healed, so why did you accept your disease? Why didn't you start loving your cancer? Oh, I never thought about it. I've been fighting the cancer, for 2 years, and the medical establishment is fighting that cancer for 2 years. This is totally different. It's not I'm going to, she said, I'm going to try. I said, don't try, because trying, you're going to fail.
Right.
Do, right now. And B, the acceptance. And after 2-3 healing sessions, just walking on that total acceptance of her death and of her disease, her cancer, she went to whatever, a checkup, and they couldn't find anything.
Wow.
They said, it's miraculous healing. I said, there's nothing miraculous there. It's just ordinary healing, because finally you become ordinary human being. You stop being extraordinary, because to be extraordinary is to be in fight, in competition, you see?
Mm-hmm.
To be ordinary is to be in acceptance. It's to be who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, I was writing a blog for Namaste Publishing a couple of months ago, and I remember her, and I called her. And she's healthy, still healthy, and healing dogs and cats and horses.
Wow.
And she said, yeah, I know, Ivan. I will never, ever die. My body will die. So I'm not finite. I'm infinite. I've got that from you. Thank you very much. I said, no, you didn't get it from you. You got it from yourself. I was there just to remind you, nothing else.
Wow. Amazing. I want to ask you a question that's probably sensitive to most people that are around today, because there's a lot of judgment around this whole area. But in the chapter on the root chakra, you say, in a sense, every man and every woman in the world is bisexual. And you talk also about androgyny. Would you elaborate on this?
That's on an energetic level. You see, energy is the one energy. Cannot be separated into two. If you separate the energy into two, then which one will win depends on which one is stronger or more wicked to, you know, to overpower the other one.
Yeah.
And, you know, there is a, when I was a kid, I was, I loved watching Western movies. But, you know, those ones where Indians were winning at the end. But unfortunately, we would only, you know, in our local cinema, we get movies where cowboys will win and exterminate and, you know, kill all the Indians. So, so it's all about duality when you when you separate energy. And I remember one cowboy came to the town, and the other cowboy was, approached him and said, you know, he said, I'm, you see, this town, you know, is too big for two of us. One must die. And I thought, okay, should be the opposite. Should be this town is too small for us. But he said, particularly, it's too big. And I was contemplating about that. What was the message? So only one can exist, the stronger one. That's the survival, you see. And the big is the mind. I want everything big. I want everything more and more. You see, give me for the pleasure. It's just a pleasure. So so it's all about survival, you see. But it is the energy as the one energy inside of you, always available. That's called the infinite energy of oneness. It's not plus or it's not minus. It's not male or it's not female. Yes, that energy can express itself as the male body or female body. What's the reason for that? Is the reason for the movement, you know, for expansion and progression and evolution. But on the essential level, inside, inner, that energy is one. Once you unite those two energies into one, then you will never, ever allow the mind to project anything. And you will not identify yourself as man or a woman, as male or a female. You will say to yourself, as I am the one. So, yes, I exist in this vehicle, but this vehicle can be positive, that can be negative, can be male, can be female, can be black and white. Who cares? I'm not the vehicle. You see, in Atlantean teaching, there's the Holy Trinity. Holy Trinity is the body, the soul, and the consciousness. The body is the vehicle for the soul, or the temple for the soul. And on the body level, on the 3D level, that body needs duality in order for the movement, in order for progression. It's, but it is embedding, it is allowing the soul to enter. The soul is the one. But it's not the final. The consciousness is the final. So let's say the body is the finite. The body is the particle-like vehicle. The soul is wave-like, invisible vehicle or the temple for the consciousness. So consciousness needs a soul and needs a body to finally reunite with the oneness. You see, whether you're male or female, we all have a task here to reunite, to put together different energies inside of us. We've been trained, conditioned to behave as a man or as a woman, you know, through our childhood. Now is the time as a grown-up, conscious human being to reunite those two energies in your own self and celebrate the oneness.
Absolutely. I'm with you. And it seems that most religions, if not all religions, reinforce the guilt and the shame of sexuality and the wrongness of doing this act or that act, and while doing it secretly, Could you explain the flaw in the concept of the patriarchal trinity as viewed from Plato's allegory from the Symposium? Do you remember that?
Oh, yes, I do. I laughed at that.
You wrote it.
Yeah, right. I laughed at that when I was a kid and reading about Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And I thought, oh, man, you know, all three are men. Where is the woman here? And my father used to tease my mother about that. She said, you know, because I can use you. You know, you are never ever mentioned in the Holy Trinity. You know, where's you? No, there's no woman there. You see, but you see, when you examine the word family, it is coming from the Latin, meaning the property, and that's the reason for all those suffering of the womanhood. You see,
uh-huh. You
know, because the woman was seen as an evil. You know, it's not worth of living.
Yeah.
So, Holy Trinity can only be consciousness, soul, and the body. When you reunite those three aspects, then you come to the oneness, you come to the wholeness. You see? But with a Christian version of Holy Trinity, that's the cause of all the conflicts.
Mm-hmm.
Because
yeah.
since that establishment of that Holy Trinity, wrong Holy Trinity, you know, Inquisition started. And still, you know, we have so many pedophiles there, and we have so many misconducts, and we have, you know, the Christianity, as Christianity is dying, you know, something else is emerging, you know, and the New Age philosophy is about Christ consciousness, you know, that's another level, which is much healthier level than dogmatic Christianity.
Yes, absolutely. I totally agree with you on that one, too. Is there such a thing? It seems like we get caught up in a search for the other. Is there such a thing as a soulmate or twin flame, or is that just our projection seeking the oneness?
In a way, it's a projection because of unresolved issues, experiences, or broken. This is entirely. Difficult topic called the fragmentation of the soul. So we are all fragmented in a way, not just in our mind, not just in our body, but in our soul. And so many lifetimes where we've been departed from our loved ones, from, and also in some traumatic situations, you know, someone said half of the souls had been killed or experience traumatic experiences through lifetimes. So we are all here to repair the damage. So, and once you damage the soul, then the soul can split itself into two. So what we are here looking for, we are looking for our souls, missing part of our soul. So, and we will never be at ease unless we found that missing part of the soul. So, you see, but the missing part of the soul is always within you. You don't have to go outside to find it. It's not another person. It is just the inner fragmentation and the projection. The mind is projecting that the other person holds that clue or that missing soul.
Yeah.
So, but there is no twin souls. We are all one soul. You see, we all are one body. You know, the universe is one. You see, your body is formed from one particle, 100 trillions of particles coming from the one particle, one cell. But that cell came from the primordial cell, which is only one cell. So entire universe came from that one. You see, so there is only one soul. It's just illusion, nothing else.
It makes sense to me. I was watching an amazing documentary on the life of Meher Baba today, excuse me, and in his silence through a letter board, he continually reiterated, I am not my body. And, you know, it just struck me today that statement it had such clarity and power. Is it accurate to say that our lives are like a virtual mirror of ourselves? and is one tool for guiding ourselves wisely?
You see, the reality, you can call this reality holographic reality.
Okay.
As also the Eastern world will call it Maya, projections, illusions. I mean, it is, there is nothing out there when you look at the reality closely. It appears to be. It appears to be because of the mind. Mind is freezing the process. You see, it's just energy. If you can go into the matter, you will discover energy. If you have some instrument to go into the energy to discover what's beyond the energy, you will discover nothing out there. But something will be, even to call it something is to give that something a form. It's literally no thing.
Mm-hmm.
You will discover yourself looking at yourself. You will be aware. So beyond form or formless, it's you. It's you being aware of you being aware. You see? So we are not our bodies. Our bodies, they appear to be, but, you know, it's just one particle coming from one primordial particle. You see?
Yeah.
We are infinitely aware of ourselves in the moment. That's called non-attachment. When you are not attached to the body will serve you the best, and it will give you good health. It will give you good balance and harmony. Identify with your body, you identify with your mind. Or when you identify with your mind, then you identify with your body. Then everything becomes a particle. Then you've been attached to the outside reality and seeing it as real. But this reality is nothing, nothing real. So you can call it a mirror of you.
Mm.
If you are standing in front of the mirror, and if you're asking the mirror to blink, the mirror will never, ever blink. You can stand for eternity. You have to start first. And then what happened? And the miracle happened. The mirror reflects your blink. You smile, the mirror smiles.
You
start shouting at the reflection starts shouting at you.
Back at you, yes.
So absolutely. You are the one. You are the one. Literally, you are the one. Either you accept your being or you don't. If you don't accept your being, then this reality will be concrete and it will be your circumstances. And the circumstances will matter to you. But the circumstances don't matter. The circumstances, the situations cannot create the material things.
Yeah.
Only higher state of being can reflect itself through the situations, creating temporary moment or the temporary freeze of the energy. And then again, going into nothing. You see, that's called explosion or implosion. But it's another topic.
Right. It seems that we have so much brainwashing around the concept that we are God or that we are divine that we simply can't accept that because we've been told since we were born that we need some intermediary to interfere or connect us to that, such as the church or this guru or that teacher. But that's not true, is it?
No, it's not true. We don't need middle guy. Connect us with ourselves, you see, because God is not outside. God is inside. So once you look or pay attention to your inside, you will discover God. But your God, when you look inside, and my God, when I looked inside, is the same.
Mm.
So consciousness is the same.
Yeah.
Your consciousness and my consciousness is the same consciousness. You know, your body is different than mine. Your mind has different structure, different content than mine. Your emotions fluctuate differently thanks to different chemicals in your body, thanks to different genes, thanks to different upbringing, different circumstances. But on one existential level, your consciousness and my consciousness and everyone else's consciousness is one and the same. And that's what God is. That's why I said God is God, expressing itself through the infinite pieces. Every single piece acts as God. So you are God. But I don't like using the word God because of wrong connotations,
right.
You know, linking with Christianity and whatever.
Right.
Because when you say God, you project outside a whatever the
right.
you know almighty power who is sort of
the man
controlling
on the cloud.
And judging and whatever.
Right.
God
right.
is infinite compassion. So if you don't have compassion for yourself, God is not real in your reality. God is dead. So you have to compensate why with belief there's a God outside. That's the mind. So we need to get out of the mind, man.
And into the heart.
That's right. The heart is the bridge between visible and invisible.
Okay.
More feeling, less thinking.
Mm. Ivan, we're almost at the end of the show. I can't believe that this has zipped by so quickly. I mean, I could talk to you for another hour or two. But if you have enough time to say whatever you'd like to share with the audience and then let people know where they can find your books and your work and your website.
The word meditation and medicine have the same root. Meditation is medicinal. Once you start meditating, then medicine can help, but it is not necessary. The more you meditate, the medicine will no longer be needed because you will be the meditation. You will allow everything that is you to be you. So all energy is coming from you, through you, to you. Just meditate and you will come to that realization and then everything will be easy in your reality. No worries, no problems, no stress, no diseases. Just stillness, peacefulness, blessing and benediction. That's mm-hmm. real benediction, to be yourself. Mm. Be yourself, do not be anyone else.
Mm.
That's the secret. And you can find more about what I do on two websites, www.ivanrados.com, IvanRados.com. And the other website is Namaste Publishing website, namastepublishing.com, one word, Namaste Publishing. So I usually, I regularly post blogs there so you can purchase my books and you can be in touch with me through that website or through my website.
Wonderful. And I just want to say that your book is one of the best books I've read in a long time. I've been really lucky to stumble across some brilliant writing and truth, and it's in your book. There's no question about it. So I highly recommend your book, which is called Health, It's All About Consciousness. And it's a must-read for anybody on the path or anybody that's looking into their life and starting to remember themselves or awaken or that just wants to get some a wonderful, blissful jolt. Thank you for writing it, and thank you so much for being on the show. And you can come back anytime. We could talk again. Like I said, we could talk for hours. You're just absolutely amazing.
We can. Only if you don't mind my accent, do you?
Not at all.
Not at all. I'm an alien here.
Well, we're all aliens, I think.
Yeah, that's right. Since I was a kid, people would ask me because I was very strange, behaving strangely. And they would say, where are you coming from, Ivan? And I would say, I came from Sirius. Constellation Sirius? Are you serious about it? Yes, I am. I just told you. And thank you for having me.
Yes.
And be in touch. And I'll be in touch. Thanks a lot.
All right. All right. Okay. Thanks again, Ivan. And thanks, everybody, for listening. And stay tuned for James Gilwin's show. Thanks, everybody, and good night. Good night, Ivan.
Good night.